Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we just heard in the Fox News update that that was the longest address by a president to Congress in history. Longest ever address. Boy, it sure didn't feel like it. Man, that was an absolutely incredible address to Congress last night by President Donald J. Trump. You know, it was kind of like staying up late for me to watch it. Well, Senator Steve Daines was up even later because he was there in person, and now he's up early with us here on Montana Talks. Senator, great to have you on this morning. What was it like just being in that room last night?
Aaron, it was so encouraging. I was sitting right behind President Trump's cabinet, so they were all there in front of me. It was Kristi Noem and Pete Hegseth and Bobby Kennedy, and the gang were all literally right in front of me. And I thought, just for a moment, Aaron, I thought, I'm so proud that I got to vote for the confirmation of each one of President Trump's cabinet noms. And in fact, we've got the strongest start in 20 years of getting cabinet nominations through for any president. But it was a great speech. I'll tell you, what a contrast, though, Aaron. I felt like there were two different countries represented. The Republicans standing up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I must have stood up and applauded and cheered. My knees are sore this morning, up and down, cheering for the president. And then you looked at the Democrats, and they never stood once, not once. Even when President Trump is talking about the amazing work that's being done with bringing Mark Fogel back from Russia, when they had the young boy with brain cancer, not one Democrat standing up. The only time they had a Democrat stand up is when Congressman Al Green from Texas stood up and basically took the president on and was screaming at him. Eventually had to be removed from the Sergeant of Arms. But anyway, it was a great night. America is back, and I know so many Americans were encouraged by what he had to say last night.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that Representative Al Green, who stood up and was pointing his cane, the get off my lawn Democrat last night, and the lawlessness that he demonstrated was so symbolic of the lawlessness from the Democrats. But the heartlessness was on display last night as well. They wouldn't even stand up for that little boy who survived brain cancer. So many incredible moments.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I guess what struck me too, Aaron, was what he's done in just 42 days. It feels like Trump's been president again like for 3 years. In 42 days, the border is secured again. The lowest illegal entries into our country ever was in February. And as President Trump said, we didn't need new laws and this and that. We just need a new president to secure the southern border, when he had 21 million under Biden flooding the southern border, and Trump just had just less than 8,000 during the entire month of February. What he's done in unleashing energy production, what he's doing in terms of military recruiting. Think about this, that we have an all-time record, you know, in terms of the Army recruiting. And that's because President Trump standing up and talking about the mission of the military is to be a warfighter, not to be promoting some kind of woke ideology. And so I think the entire spirits of the country were lifted last night. But let me just say this. Those who respect President Trump and admire him love the speech. But those who hate President Trump hated the speech. That's just what it came down to last night.
All right, we'll hold it right there. Back with Senator Daines. Right,
here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine in the area today, highs range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. For tonight, increasing clouds with some snow showers possible late in the Bozeman area. Low temperature readings from the mid to upper 20s. That will see snow showers on Thursday. That will see snow showers on Thursday with up to around an inch possible in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Securing America.
The Trump administration focus on border security continues, as does the progress. Border czar Tom Homan telling Fox's The Story with Martha McCallum, illegal crossings are now down 97%.
But we need more money to make that permanent, get it down to 100%, have zero gotaways.
Holman says there are other things funding is needed for as well.
We got a massive deportation operation we got to run. We need more beds. We need more airplane flights. We need more officers. And look, we got 300,000 missing children we got to find.
He also pushed back against sanctuary cities that have blocked ICE's attempts to locate and remove some migrants from communities, citing priorities he doesn't believe should be in question.
Prioritize the worst of the worst. Prioritize public safety threats. Prioritize national security threats. This should be a nonpartisan issue.
The mayors of several sanctuary cities testifying before the House Oversight Committee Wednesday. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
All right, let's put this phony talking point to bed once and for all. Deporting illegal aliens is not racist. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's my latest rant in response to just some of the absurd left-wing comments that I've seen on some of the social media sites out there. You can check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. And oh, by the way, if it's so racist to deport illegal aliens, then why did Hispanics support Trump in such a big way? Are you talking?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Senator Pete Daines highlighted, I think, one of the best lines of the night where, you know, the media, the Democrat Party kept saying, well, we need new legislation to secure the border. Nope, turns out we just needed a new president. That was a big debate here in Montana back in 2024, of course. Senator Steve Daines, what were some of the other big lines of the night or big moments of the night from being in the room for this address to Congress?
Well, I think what he did, what the president did, was first and foremost assure the American people that he's going to be delivering results. You know, it was a promises made, promises kept. And typically, Aaron, for a president to have those kind of results would take at least a year in office. But this is 42 days. And what I continually hear back in Washington, and I feel it every day, and the American people feel it, he's moving so fast. It's like a fast break offense in basketball. It's all the time going down the court, full throttle, up and down, up and down. As they say sometimes here in Washington, every hour is like a new day here. Something is happening in terms of the executive orders are going out, what he's doing of basically restructuring the world order. I mean, America's back. Starting with securing our own borders, but then a reset, what's going on, the chance to actually bring peace now to Ukraine, the chance to actually deal with this horrible situation in Gaza and the Palestinians, to bring some of this lasting, and it's just remarkable. I mean, Biden wouldn't be able to find the bathrooms in 42 days, and President Trump is delivering results. Quite remarkable.
Yeah, I've been talking with folks on the radio this week, random callers, but I, you know, Donald Trump is like that new boss who's coming in saying, hey, what do you guys need? What can we do to make this company better? What do you need to make your job better? And from a Montana's perspective, it's like, hey, let's put the big ask to Donald Trump. Let's make our timber industry great again. Let's make mining in Montana great again. We've got such an incredible historic opportunity right now.
Well, we do, and that starts with the people that President Trump is bringing onto his cabinet. You know, people equals policy. An organization is defined by the strength of the leadership that drives the culture, it drives the results. Just look no further than some of these very important cabinet positions that affect Montana, like the Secretary of Interior, Doug Burgum, a very close friend of mine. Doug and I talk frequently, and look who he's going to bring on here with Fish Wildlife Services. He's bringing he got rid of Tracy Stone Manning, and he's replacing her with the Fish Wildlife Parks person from Wyoming who understands grizzly bears. You take a look at what Chris Wright, somebody who has led an American energy company, that's who's running the Department of Energy. Take a look at who the BLM director is. Kathleen Sagama is going to be running it, replacing Trace Domeni on BLM anyway. And that is just, these are people who understand Montana, understand our values, and are going to drive common sense back in these organizations.
Yeah, it's so great to see that, you know, like you mentioned, Kathleen Sagama. These are people we've talked to on this show before because they've been fighting for Western interests, Montana interests, for decades now. And that's the type of people Trump is putting on Team Trump. It's great to see. I got to ask you, what was it like? Because I thought one of the funniest lines of the night, you talked about peace finally could be on the table now with Ukraine. Donald Trump was talking about that very thing. And he said, you know, he basically says, hey, do you want to keep the war going for another 5 years? And he looks around the room. Oh, Pocahontas says yes. And of course, the C-SPAN camera knew exactly where to turn at that moment. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, President Trump is not afraid to call it like he sees it. I think that's what's refreshing the American people. Yeah, he's unfiltered. He's unleashed. And he tells it like he sees it. And we can't keep throwing billions of dollars at Ukraine to fight a standoff. The problem with Ukrainians is the running out of Ukrainians. The war of attrition does not end well for Ukraine. And that is why this minerals deal. And by the way, Aaron, that's something I pitched to President Trump over a year ago. I remember being on a phone call. Lindsey Graham and I got the president on the phone and said, let's think about using critical minerals as collateral right now in terms of the U.S. aid that's going into Ukraine. President Trump liked that idea, and now I think there's optimism again, by the way, from what I heard last night, that Zelensky might be on the verge of signing that deal. And that is that he's got to do that. If we're going to drive peace in Ukraine, the first step is Zelensky's got to agree to what, by the way, what he agreed to already last Friday. You know, he completely changed the goalposts there on Friday in front of the TV cameras. It was an awful moment. Zelensky just had to walk in, sink the free throw, and we had a deal. Instead, he walked up the free throw line, he airballed. And that is that's why there's hope again in Ukraine, bringing peace. But Trump called out the Democrats, because if they want to throw another $100 billion at Ukraine, it's not going to end the war. The war is going to be ended by President Trump's leadership and strength of bringing both sides to the table, negotiating a settlement, and to stop the slaughter of Russians and Ukrainians going on right now in that country.
That's right. Only about 30 seconds or so to go here with Senator Steve Daines. I saw Senator Chris Murphy. It sure looked like Senate Democrats were urging Zelensky to keep the war going and not accept the deal. Do you think they kind of goaded him into it?
You know, something changed there, Aaron, because he was all set to sign that deal. He was going to sign it, ink it, and then they're going to have a lunch. I mean, it was all prepared. But the problem, it looks like somebody talked him out of it before he went to that meeting in the Oval Office. And it was a tragic moment. Now, I hope they can recover. It sounds like Zelensky is coming back on the apology tour to President Trump. He needed to show respect. Remember, Zelensky was campaigning for Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania in September.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth to J.D. Vance. We were texting each other this weekend. I said, J.D., I was proud of you, by the way. And I said, how in the world did Zelensky get away with campaigning for Harris?
It was
in September,
crazy.
And then coming in and thinking that he's going to be the big man on campus there in the Oval Office.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. But it appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House and Senate have now passed similar frameworks to advance President Trump's legislative agenda of slashing spending and renewing his tax cuts. Those are different frameworks, so the House and Senate must still line up. The House finally approved its framework on a nail-biter of a vote. One Republican, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, voted nay. Republicans were initially going to punt until they were able to cobble together the remaining votes. The Senate process was a little bit different. The GOP had the votes there, but Democrats were able to string things out in a session which bled through much of an overnight. Marathon voting sessions, often called a votorama in the Senate, present an opportunity for the party out of power to engineer challenging votes for the other side. They like to put the majority on the spot with tough votes. Democrats tried to trip up Republicans with votes on tax cuts. They even compelled Republicans to weigh in on their support, or lack thereof, for Ukraine. But now the House and Senate must approve the same version of the framework, and that will take time before they eventually get to the underlying bill itself. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, new U.S. tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada took effect on Tuesday, just hours after President Trump signed an executive order to raise duties on China, his second such tariff hike since taking office. It was a huge topic this week at Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado, but America's livestock producers are also paying very close attention. Here's U.S. Meat Export Federation President and Chief Executive Officer Dan Hallstrom.
Mexico and Canada and China represents about a little over 40% of our exports. We're coming in at, in 2024 at $19.1 billion in total beef and pork exports. And if you add up Mexico, China, and Canada, it's about $8.4 billion of that. So obviously very concerning at a very high level. But we'll have to just see how this all plays out, because there's a lot of moving parts. It remains to be seen exactly what the potential impact is short term. Of course, long term, we're very hopeful that we can work through this and get through it with minimal impact on our exports.
Now, both Canada and Mexico, of course, had plenty of time to plan their retaliation. And as soon as the U.S. tariffs went into effect, Canada retaliated with its own 25% duties on some $20 billion of U.S. goods. Meanwhile, following Trump's first tariff hike on imports from China, Beijing retaliated with some new duties on U.S. agricultural machinery exports, among other products. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Ranchers, the Reminis Angus bull sale's coming up fast. It's Friday, March 7th. Reminis Angus has been leading the industry back to the future with their extreme middle approach to genetic solutions. Their idea of making them better without making them bigger has caught on, and breeders across the West are making strides with this approach. Selling this year are 155 20-month-old bulls with over 65 easy calving heifer bulls. Sale time is 1 o'clock at the Big West Management Feedlot, Dillon, Montana. For more details, visit RemAngus.com. Well, National Pork Producers Council President Lori Stiebemer testified during the State of the Livestock Industry hearing before the House Agriculture Committee's Subcommittee on Livestock, Dairy, and Poultry, and emphasized the need for a federal solution for the problems caused by one state's overregulation threatening all of American agriculture, California's Proposition 12. She said it reaches far beyond California's borders to include producers in other states and even countries. And finally this morning, according to the Public Lands Council, the Interior Department has formally terminated six national advisory panels, including one designed to help the BLM implement the Biden-era public lands rule that, of course, has been a target of congressional Republicans. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum ordered the elimination of the six national advisory panels and wrote that the six panels were unnecessary and have fulfilled the purposes for which they were established. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I think, let's see, I've got so many great highlights from this, well, I call it the State of the Union Address. I guess technically, because this is his first year back in office, it's more of a presidential address to a joint session of Congress. Anyway, you get the freaking point. Everybody thinks of it as a State of the Union. I hope this is, I've got so many great highlights and sound bites that we're going to get to here throughout the morning. Let me sneak this one in here. It's one of the ones that we just mentioned when chatting with Montana Senator Steve Daines. This comes from on X via Eric Doherty. I could have snagged the soundbite myself as well, but Eric already had it up, so let's use that one. I hope it has the Pocahontas line. That's what I hope.
With no end in sight, the United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes. (laughs) 2,000 people are being killed every single week. More than that.
Do you want to keep the war going for another 5 years? And Trump looks around and he sees Elizabeth Warren. This is how this guy connects with an audience. This is how this guy, the guy's not just up there reading from a speech, staring at a teleprompter. He's looking out at the room. He's looking people in the eye. If you've ever been to a Trump rally, you've seen this in person, the way he will look out in the audience and connect with people on a one-on-one basis, and he did that. He looks around the room. Really, do some of you people want to keep the war going for another 5 years? And he scans the room, and he goes, oh, yeah, Pocahontas. So he was looking at Senator Elizabeth Warren, who lied about being Native American, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, she says yes. And I just thought it was hilarious because I was watching C-SPAN for the live feed, and then I was sending out tweets on X and, you know, kind of marking highlights of, you know, the biggest sound bites of the night from my perspective. And it was just so funny because the C-SPAN camera knew exactly who to go to. When Donald Trump says, Pocahontas says yes, the camera went right to Elizabeth Warren and her just angry face. I mean, you could, the look on her face, you could hear the shrieking and the shrilling, democracy, shut up and wear your masks. I mean, you could just hear the shrieking, shrilling voice as you saw the look on her face. Tater and Forsyth says, who was the lady in the red dress that I think was on the Democrat side that actually stood up and clapped last night when President Trump was speaking? I think there was one Democrat, only one, who actually stood up and clapped for some of the incredible people that were in the gallery. That Representative Al Green, the guy who just stood there yelling at the President of the United States. It was like literally like a character out of the Simpsons cartoon. He was the old man yelling at the clouds. That's what that Al Green looked like. Somebody had a hilarious tweet though last night. They said, look, President Trump is even deporting people out of the House chamber after Al Green got thrown out by the sergeant at arms. Let's see. We got Montana's Speaker of the House joining us here in just a few minutes for our weekly legislative update. So let me take this time to share some messages that came in from you, that came in from our listeners as you were watching the joint address to Congress last night. Let's see. Anton in Billings noticed this. Trump is entering the room, and there was a woman holding a sign that says, this is not normal. How appropriate. Anton, I don't know if you saw it a few seconds later. Apparently, a Texas congressman grabbed that stupid sign right out of her hands and just threw it on the ground. That was pretty funny. Evan and Belt says this, great speech and agenda by President Trump. America truly is back. Having visited with a few veteran friends tonight, the only criticism we had of the speech was that the price of eggs really wasn't Biden's fault, but rather
avian bird flu. But the bigger point was none of us were too big of fans of selling citizenship to the highest bidder. Just follow the damn rules set forth to become a citizen. As for the Democrats, we all agreed their actions were despicable and truly un-American. As far as Biden and the chickens and the eggs, I do think the Biden administration was overly aggressive in their response to it, and then probably added to the egg prices and the lack of chickens, et cetera. But anyway, no, I appreciate hearing Evan and Belt's take here. Kevin in Belgrade says this: Aaron, I'm watching President Trump's address to Congress, and within the first few minutes, Kevin says the demon rats were disrupting the speech, and the sergeant at arms had to remove one of them. President Trump even reached out to the Democrats to help make America great again, but they just sit there holding little signs so they don't have to speak and get thrown out. These Democrats are disgusting and disgraceful. That was probably the most childish response we have ever seen in that chamber during an address like this. I mean, it was just, I was embarrassed for the Democrats last night. They looked childish. They looked absolutely pathetic. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, Native American senator out of Oklahoma and Republican, he says Democrats in the chamber have little paper flags that say false, powerful stuff. Luckily, I think the guy who took a bullet for America will overcome this. Great response there from Mark Wayne Mullen. All right, we should have Montana Speaker of the House right after this, right here on Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see here. You know, I'm looking at my calendar here, and Caden, did we just, okay, he just got a note that the Speaker of the House, yeah, they've had a crazy busy schedule this week, so normally we'd have Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage with us right now for our weekly legislative update, but man, if you guys haven't heard, Friday, 2 days from now, is the transmittal deadline. So they are running and gunning to get everything done, because a lot of this stuff, if they don't get it done before Friday, it ain't going to get done. In this, this is basically halftime in the 90-day legislative session. But hey, thankfully, though, during the break, we got a nice surprise phone call from Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle, Montana. And he's headed to the Capitol, if not already there this morning himself. So, Jerry, great to hear from you. Sounds like you get to give us the weekly legislative update. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, thanks a lot, Aaron. And there is a lot going on. And actually, I'm sitting in the parking lot here at the Capitol just waiting to go to the front steps. Every Wednesday morning we gather at 6:45, some of us anyway, to pray for leadership, especially on the Senate side where they've had a lot to deal with. And so I would just encourage anyone in your listening audience to join us at home at 6:45. We start to pray for leadership and for all of us in the legislature that we make good decisions. So that's the first thing on the agenda. And then we go into floor session at 8 o'clock. So we're going to have two boards today. We go in at 8 o'clock, and then we take a break whenever we get done there. I think we've got 40 bills this morning. And then we'll get a little, hopefully, little bit of time before lunch hour, and we'll go into Appropriations Committee where we'll hear the any of the bills that involve appropriations, any money, a sizable amount of money. And then we'll go back into floor session again probably by 1 o'clock and another 40, 45 bills. So I think we've got 80 or 90 bills to hear across the floor today. As you said, it's transmittal coming up on Friday, and any non-revenue bills that don't get heard and voted on and sent to the other house die as of Friday. So we'll have third reading Friday morning before we all get to jump in our outfits and head home for a few days.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Earlier this week, I caught up with Henry Kriegel from AFP Montana, and, you know, on the good news front, he was telling me that a bill called the RAINS Act, similar to the federal RAINS Act to rein in the unelected bureaucracy, that even had bipartisan support. I was pleased to hear about that. But then we got word that a bill to allow judicial candidates to campaign with a party affiliation, that some House Republicans even voted against allowing judicial candidates to do that. That we have got to get this judicial reform across the finish line. That's what's killing this state right now, is these far left partisan judges.
Well, that's right, Aaron. And I don't chuckle, but I think to myself every time people talk about making these races partisan, nothing could be further from the truth. We saw the millions of dollars that poured in from out of state this last election to support a far-left candidate, Kathleen Bittigieri, out of eastern Montana, to come on the Supreme Court. So these races are partisan. They are the Democrats' last hope to continue to hold back what the people of Montana really support. And they don't just do their job of judging based on the law from the bench, but too many of them are just political activists. And I pointed out in the debate the other day that when we were voting on that bill you first talked about, that our just now retired Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court, Mike McGrath, was the Democrat Attorney General before he became the Chief Justice, and he also ran as a Democrat for governor. And last session, one of the demonstrations that was out in the rotunda was led by former Justice Nelson, that was calling for a jihad on conservatives. So my question is when that robe comes on, does all of a sudden the cloak of nonpartisanship come on, or where does that happen? And when it comes off, they automatically become partisans again. It's kind of a mystery.
Yeah, which is exactly why we need to get these judicial reform bills across the finish line. And because I'll tell you what, the people of Montana will be fired up if there's three or four of these House Republicans that aren't voting for that type of stuff. They're going to get called out. They're not going to be able to just skate by with the people of Montana. I fully believe it on this. That's how important that issue is. Well, I know you've got to run to a very important prayer session on the Capitol steps. So cool you're doing that. Anything else you want to tell folks, or do you got to run right now?
Yeah, I'm going to work my way over there. It's about time to start. So, no, I just appreciate everyone from back home and across the state that calls in or emails or texts us and raises issues that are important, because there are a lot of things, even on normal weeks and normal days, there's a lot of things happening and moving. So we can't be an expert and up on everything. So issues that are important that you recognize at home, we certainly appreciate input.
All right. Representative Jerry Schillinger, great to hear from you as always. I hope you make it out of Helena in time, because we want to see you in Glendive on Friday. Yeah, I have the honor of getting to be a keynote speaker at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan Dinner. What an incredible group that is out in Dawson County. So I know Speaker Lear is going to try to make it there, should be there. And Jerry told me during the break he's going to try to make it there as well. So, Jerry, great to hear from you. Yeah, and I think they're still selling tickets for that. So if you're if you want to make a road trip to Glendive Friday, or if you're in eastern Montana listening in on the app or whatever right now, just check out the Dawson County Republicans, Betsy Hedrick, Beth Heinbaugh. I know they're the ones that are helping to sell tickets for that event. But, yeah, it should be a really good time. Just salt of the earth folks out there, just like so many of the great folks that we got to see recently at the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo when our producer Caden and I traveled out there for the Gate Show and did a live radio show. All right, let's see. Speaking of the Montana legislature, and we'll get to more highlights from President Trump's speech to Congress last night, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour and more. But I got a couple of great emails from the Disney family in Libby, Montana. So we had, let's see, let me think here. Oh, yeah, here we go. The Disney's said this: "Hey, Aaron, we didn't get to hear all of your program." This was Tuesday. "Did we hear correctly that the Montana legislature failed to pass legislation regarding judges having to declare their political affiliations, and also failed to pass a bill to keep males out of female competitions. Now, I think that one is still moving forward, but yeah, the bill in the House that would simply, it doesn't even force judges to declare their political affiliation. It would allow them to declare a party affiliation. Yeah, that failed. That's what we heard from Henry Kriegel earlier in the week. It's just crazy. Let's see. If true, can such all be laid at the feet of the nine rogues in the Senate, or are there other issues? I would say there are other issues. Of course, this was in the House, not in the Senate. And so I know Henry Kriegel, I'd have to go back and listen to the audio. He did call out some of the names of the folks who voted against that judicial reform bill. If the above is true, the Montana GOP will have a lot of explaining to do. The Disney's added this. It all seems so sad after all the hard work you and others did to put nearly all state offices and the legislature and the governor in GOP hands. We thought they would do better. That was from the Disney's. Also, we had one of our listeners earlier in the week asked a question. They said, hey, I think this came up Tuesday in the 9 o'clock hour. They said, hey, there's a bill that was introduced in the legislature that would allow the state to sell small parcels of state land. And then it's kind of like a homestead bill. And then people could build a residence there as a way to try to, you know, build more housing in Montana. And then somebody was saying, oh, that'd be a way that that the state could get more revenue. Anyway, the Disney's say this, not a good idea. I like this line in particular. If Montana wants more income, maybe they should tax all of the acres owned by the American Prairie Reserve in north central Montana. Somehow they were able to get nonprofit status. Yeah, tax the American Prairie Reserve. Great idea there from the Disney's. All right, man, you know, we talked about, let's see, all sorts of stuff here this morning already. Yesterday I dropped in and I saw my diet coach. I saw my diet coach, Jen, at Billings Last Diet. And it was cool. I was telling her about that bowling ball analogy that Owen had used. You know, I mentioned how one of our listeners lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. And that's like carrying around 9 bowling balls when you think about it. It's crazy in weight. And so that's how much weight our friend Tim out there in Savage has lost thanks to Billings Last Diet. Man, I was so encouraged. Yesterday, they have got a whole bunch of people from all across Montana that are now taking advantage of Billings Last Diet because you know that's the program that works. If you want to, you know, trim back, lose the weight before summer, springtime is a great time to get a hold of Billings Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And little Justin hitting back, announcing that he's going to, you know, put more tariffs. He already had tariffs on America. That he's going to put, fine, good luck to little Justin. They have a net population of 42 million. We've got 340 million. Who do you think's going to get hit harder in the end? And China? I don't care what China does. Their economy is tanking too. And over time, you will see, just like in the case of Zelensky, these countries are going to realize that there will be reciprocity, that what they do to us, we will do to them. We believe in free and fair trade. That means it's a two-way street. And America, the days of taking advantage of America are coming to an end.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword, save now, claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine in the area today, highs range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. For tonight, increasing clouds with some snow showers possible late in the Bozeman area. Low temperature readings from the mid to upper 20s. That will see snow showers on Thursday. That will see snow showers on Thursday with up to around an inch possible in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
This is Derek A. Stryker, Chief Legal Counsel for the Montana Family Foundation, filling in for Jeff Laszlocki. It's hard to believe that we are quickly approaching the midpoint of the legislative session. For the past 58 days, legislators in both the House and Senate have held hearings, debated, and sorted through just shy of 1,400 bills so far. Back on January 6th, both the House and Senate chambers gaveled in to begin the difficult and serious work of debating policies that impact all corners of the state. Freshman legislators approached the initial committee hearings with rose-colored glasses, fully intent on persuading their colleagues that their ideas are in the best interests of Montana. Some of these ideas die quickly when legislators decide that their bill is not ready for showtime and the bill is tabled in committee. Other ideas receive robust debate in committee, only to be further scrutinized and voted down on the floor of the House or the Senate. Then there are those ideas which find enough support to pass one chamber, only to be met with stiff opposition in the other. This is the process that Montana voters expect of our elected leaders, a process that demands careful consideration, respectful debate, and a majority of consensus before an idea becomes law. It's also the sort of process that led Winston Churchill to comment that our form of government, quote, is the worst form of government, except for all the others, end quote. Now, after almost two full months, the legislative session is approaching a crescendo. With the transmittal deadline quickly approaching, all general bills must be transmitted from one chamber to another before March 7th. The transmittal deadline is also the last day for legislators to request a bill that will require an appropriation. As of Tuesday, March 4th, committee hearings have ended. This means that all bills that remain alive for now will be debated on the floor of each chamber. Only the best ideas will survive in advance to meet their fate in either the House or Senate. Over the next 3 days, both chambers will be engaged in marathon floor sessions to sort through the remaining bills. The government affairs team for the Montana Family Foundation has been keeping pace with our elected leaders. Over the past 58 days, we have offered compelling testimony in 48 bills. As always, our number one job is to kill the bad bills. We are happy to report that nothing harmful to families, marriage, or religious freedom has received a green vote. Job number two is to help pass good policy that supports families, defends freedom, and safeguards our faith. We are pleased to report victories on that front as well. Already this session, we have passed legislation to protect women's privacy in intimate spaces, and several other priority bills have beat the transmittal deadline to await hearings in the next chamber, including a bill to protect the autonomy of pregnancy resource centers, and a bill that defends free speech so that no one is punished for failing to use someone else's preferred pronouns. For the next 3 days, our government affairs team will help shepherd our remaining bills to the next chamber. And after the break, we will begin our work again to foster a Montana where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Derek A. Stryker reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, earlier this hour, we got a chance to hear live from Montana Senator Steve Daines. He kicked off the 6 o'clock hour of the show for us. I'll have some highlights later on in the morning, much later on in the morning, in case any of you missed it. And then, of course, the full audio will be on the Montana Talks podcast within the next hour, actually, already. So that'll be great. Download the Montana Talks app to get that in your fingertips. Or you can even find it on Spotify if you use programs like Spotify for your podcast. Senator Tim Sheehy gave his reaction to the joint address by President Trump last night as well. We'll get to that. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz says this was the best basic State of the Union ever. So maybe we'll play the Ted Cruz audio for you as well as other highlights.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBUL